Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. This is the sixth and final talk about the matter of who deserves to be worshipped alone. And it will be titled The Purpose and the Return. The Purpose and the Return. Allah created man, and man belongs to Him. He, the Most High, ordained that one day man shall die and will return to Him. This world is a transitional period. Allah wanted man to shape his life according to what He had decreed, and His decree is all wise, all knowledgeable, all just, and for the benefit of man. This is the meaning of worship. It requires obedience, humility, and love for the one who created us and sustains us and gives us life and takes it, Allah, who promised an eternal life in paradise for those who obey and worship Him alone, and an eternal abode in hell for those who reject Him and His orders. Allah states this clearly in Surah Al-Hajj in chapter 22, 56. فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَامِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. So those who believed in the oneness and uniqueness of Allah and did righteous deeds will be in gardens of delight, in Al-Jannah, in paradise. We ask Allah from His favor. What about the other type of people? Those who reject and deny. Allah states clearly in chapter 2, verse 39, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. But those who disbelieve and belie our proofs, evidences, verses, signs, revelations, such are the dwellers of the fire, they shall abide therein forever. Man's life at home, as a farmer, as a car dealer, as a computer, as a consultant, grocery store attendant, company CE, a spouse, has to abide by a way of life according to the guidelines set by his Creator. He is the one who defined what is good and what is bad. He stated in the Quran in 1697, من عمل صالحا من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. Whoever works righteousness, whether male or female, while he or she is a true believer in Allah, verily to him we will give a good life in this world with respect, contentment, and lawful provision. And we shall pay them certainly a reward in proportion to the best of what they used to do, meaning in paradise. The revelation contains all the details about what is good and bad. It is not left for the limited nature of man to define what is good and what is bad. I will repeat. It is not left for the limited nature of man to define what is good and what is bad. Listen clearly to what Allah states in 16:89. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً وَبُشْرًا لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ. And we have sent down to you the book, the Quran, as an exposition of everything. Exposition of everything. Exposition of everything, and a guidance, a mercy, and glad tidings for those who have surrendered to Allah, meaning as Muslims. And that's why he asserts in another place in the Quran, in 12:40, إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. The decision is for none but for Allah. He is the one qualified with full knowledge as to what is good and what is bad for us. So he said here, the decision is for none but for him, for Allah. He has commanded that you worship none but him, because this is the greatest justice. That is the right religion. But most men know not. And that's why people argue. Some of them, they say, well, what's important is to do good. Who defines what is good? My good is irrelevant to you. And the opposite is true. Allah made it clear that in 41:46, من عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن أساء فعليها وما ربك بظلام للعبيد. Whoever does righteous good deed, it is for the benefit of his own self. And whoever does evil, it is against his own self, and your Lord is not at all unjust to his slaves. What will be the good? What is the greatest good? The greatest good is achieved when the believer fulfills the role prescribed for him by his Creator. Abides by the code of life. And that is stated in 51:56, this goal. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I, Allah, created not the jinn and men except that they should worship me alone. And we defined what is worship earlier. Worship is everything that Allah loves, from the outward and inward, outward actions and sayings, and inward convictions. The message of Islam fits the fitra in man, the natural inclination upon which he was born. Allah created man in the best form. He, the Most High, gave this natural way, this natural inclination, the ability to believe in the unseen. The animal lives within the framework of his senses, while man can relate to a broader scheme, amongst which is the ability to believe in the unseen. Thus man's soul and its horizon are broader and more open than that of animals. Man knows that the electric current is composed of small particles known as electrons, while we are unable to see these particles. Their effects could be seen on an instrument known as the oscilloscope, in the form of electron waves. In nature and in ourselves, we can see the signs of Allah everywhere, and we must relate therefore to the Creator in the perfect way He had chosen. This is His right upon us, to worship Him alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his companion by the name of Mu'ad ibn Jabal. He told him, O Mu'ad, Do you know what is due to Allah from His created beings and what is due them? I responded, Allah and His Messenger know best. He continued, what is due to Allah from His created beings is to worship Him alone and never associate any other being with Him. What is due them is not to punish any person who does not associate anyone or anything with Him. Man, through the faculties that Allah had bestowed upon him, can relate to the unseen atom with its unseen electronic shells that build up its characteristics. Man can also relate it through his fitra, natural inclination to his creator. The fitra recognizes the attributes of the true God and his signs in the creation, although it is unable to see Allah in this life. One can then easily understand that the greatest reward Allah had given to the believers is the actual seeing of Himself on the Day of Judgment. Knowing Allah in His names and His attributes and in His actions drives man to fulfill the purpose for his presence on earth, as stated earlier, that we worship none but Him. The command is for none but Him. He commanded that you worship none but Him. This is pure monotheism, and that is the true straight religion, but most men know not. Allah's attributes and His signs in His creation testify for His oneness and uniqueness, and that He is the only true God who deserves to be worshipped. The rejecting man underestimates his Lord. He may reject any worship to Allah or turn to worship other than Allah. Amongst the rejectionists, there are those who think that this universe has founded itself or it came to exist by coincidence. This necessitates that man has no goal to fulfill, because he came into being without a defined goal. Consequently, a moral or a value system becomes meaningless. Accordingly, man is just a responding tool for Mother Nature, quote unquote, which, according to Darwin himself, acts haphazardly. This way of thinking is aimlessness. This way of thinking is aimlessness. This way of thinking is aimlessness. And it occurs when man does not recognize his relation with the one who had created life and death, the universe and everything around man, all in due proportion. Listen to what he said in 65:3. قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Indeed, Allah has set a measure for all things. Those who reject the need of man to Allah are the aimless ones. Allah refers to them in the Quran by the following descriptions. In 7:179, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. They have hearts or minds wherewith they understand not. They have eyes wherewith they see not. And they have ears wherewith they hear not the truth. They are like cattle, nay, even more astray. Those are the heedless ones. Creation is in need of Allah. Man always looks for what benefits him and what protects him from harm. However, to accomplish this, man must be able to realize what is harmful. He must then know whom he should need trust and love, so that he can attain what is beneficial as well as to feel good about his choice. He also must know the proper and good approach that would make him achieve this goal. This latter condition requires that man, number one, know about harm and know about what ways can be used to drive harm away. Certainly man can have no better guidance than that which comes from the one who had perfected everything, and the one who has no deficiency in himself and in his attributes, the one who is ever living and who does not die. And there can be no one better than the one who has no need for anything, the one who is rich, free of want, the giver, the one who, after all, controls man's soul. Man is so poor to him. He is Allah, the true and only God. Man can bring harm to himself if he seeks other than Allah for help. The one who can help man drive away any harm, for it cannot occur without his will and his power, is Allah. Allah, the Most High, sent down his books and chose his messengers to guide man to two things: to know his Lord, as he had explained about himself, and to seek him alone while living in accordance with his plan. To seek him alone while living in accordance with his man. All of the books of Allah, including the Torah and the Bible, the Gospel, in their original and unaltered texts, called the former nations to submit to Allah and to worship him alone. And that this is the essence of Islam. And the unaltered and final message to mankind is the Quran. It is trustworthy in highness and a witness over all the scriptures before, correcting all the alterations in the word of Allah in which divinity was attributed to Jesus and to other humans as well. Knowing Allah's names and attributes liberates man from worshipping any form of creation, because creation is weak and in need of the Creator, Allah. The knowledge about Allah leads man to know that he is created to live according to Allah's way, as revealed to the last messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This revelation contains a complete code of life. Everything that is beneficial or harmful is established so that man can center his life around this revelation. If man commits wrong and knows that Allah is oft forgiving, he would turn to him and to him alone, seeking his forgiveness. We read in 47:19, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Know therefore, there is no God who deserves to be worshipped except Allah, and ask forgiveness for your sins. It is wrong to think or believe that Allah created other called gods besides him so that man turns to them for help, loves them or fears them, and so forth. He is the same God of all nations. He does not order that people should make of stars, of suns, of fire, of Jesus, etc., gods beside him. He most exalted cannot be contradictory. He has one way, one religion, that calls man to surrender his will only to him. He warned that if man, even Muhammad, peace be upon him, would take partners with him, and this is impossible, but just to tell you the gravity of the matter, then his work will fail and will be among the losers. Listen to this. In 39:65, وَلَقَدْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ لَإِنْ أَشْرَكْتَ لَيَحْبَطَنَّ عَمَلُكَ وَلَتَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And verily, it had been revealed to you, O Muhammad, as has been revealed to those before you, if you join others in worship with Allah, then surely all your deeds will be in vain, and you certainly be amongst the losers. Nay, but worship Allah alone, and be among the grateful. Let us know what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the man, prophet, who knew Allah best, what did he say? What did he used to say? He said, O Allah, I seek refuge in you for your pleasure and against your wrath, and in your forgiveness and against your punishment. And in you, from you, I cannot praise you as you can praise yourself. And in another invocation he said, I have surrendered myself to you. I have directed my face to you. I have entrusted my affairs to you. I have compelled my back to refuge in you, in want and in fright of you. There is no resort nor survival from you except in turning to you. I have faith in your book, the Quran, which you brought down, and in the Prophet Muhammad you have sent. When we read in the Quran that, as in 35:2, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ Whatever of mercy that is of good, Allah may grant to mankind, none can withhold it. And whatever He may withhold, none can grant it thereafter. And He is the Almighty, the All-Wise. And when we read also in 10:107 that وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِضُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُوَ وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَن يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ If Allah touches you with hurt, there is none can remove it but He. And if He intends any good for you, there is none who can repel His favor which He causes it to reach whoever of His slaves He will. And He is of forgiving, most merciful. So all the good is in His hand. And no one can remove any hurt that may touch you except Him. Then we should be motivated to return to Him alone at times of ease and at times of hardship. At times of ease and at times of hardship. And when we read in 3:160, إِن يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ If Allah helps you, none can overcome you. And if He forsakes you, who is there after Him that can help you? And in Allah alone let the believers put their trust. Therefore the Quran leads man to a true liberation from any false attachment. It really brings the peace to the heart. It helps the believer against hypocrisy and all forms of dishonesty. Imagine, for example, a believer facing a problem at work. He sees wrong and faces unlawful practices. He does not fear rejecting what is wrong. He knows that the job is only a means to gain sustenance. A means. While he may be unable to correct what is wrong, he knows well that Allah is the one who provides. If he leaves his job for the sake of Allah, Allah will give him a better one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, 65, in 2:3, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ And whosoever fears Allah and keeps his duty to Him, He will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty, and He will provide him from sources he never could imagine. He never could imagine. These statements necessitate that man must depend upon Allah, asking Him alone for assistance. It also requires that man must love Allah and worship Him alone to gain His pleasure and His help. It is not true that the people who consider this life as the final goal end up worshipping many things in it. Is it not true, rather, that the people who consider this life as the final goal end up worshipping many things in it? You see them so careful about, quote, having it all, end of quote. They torture themselves. Pain, difficulty, constant worry, keeping their hands in the bank for loan after loan to keep up with the so-called demands of development. They are under the constant threat of foreclosure. They constantly see poverty in the front of their eyes. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah says, Son of Adam, fill your time with my worship, and I will fill your heart with richness and end of your poverty. But if you don't, I would make your hands fully busy, meaning in worldly affairs, and I would not end off your poverty. Our purpose of existence on earth is more meaningful than being slaves to worldly gains. There can be no meaningful life better than that prescribed by our Creator Allah. Every act done according to Allah's way is an act of worship. Man is the beneficiary and Allah is in no need. Man is the beneficiary and Allah is in no need. Clearly stated in 35:15. Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. Wallahu huwa al-ghaniyyu al-hamid. O mankind, it is you who stand in need of Allah, but Allah is rich, free of all wants and needs, worthy of all praise. The modern civilization. We can pray to God, yet live life as we like. We can pray to God, yet live life as we like. Some people think that to live an Islamic life is restrictive. You often hear that. Islam, however, is the medium code of life. It recognizes that within the fitrah, within our natural inclination and disposition, there are motivations that influence man's role on earth. A drive to eat, a drive for lust, a drive for ownership, a drive to drink, a drive for success, a drive to have a home, and so forth. Without control, all of these legitimate motives could be very dangerous. What constitutes a perfect control is the discipline that gives an organized manifestation for these motivations without totally abolishing them or becoming enslaved to them. Islam deals with this fitrah by providing a divine discipline that elevates man above animals. Man lacks perfect knowledge as well as perfect wisdom. Therefore, he is unable to provide a perfect way of life. Allah, most perfect in His wisdom and knowledge, perfected a course of life and set limitations and rules, all of which are beneficial to man. This is stated in 2:187. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَقْرَبُهُ. These are the limits ordained by Allah, so approach them not. Also in 2:229. تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. These are the limits ordained by Allah, so do not transgress them. And that's why Islam does not condone celibacy, because it is against the fitrah. The following incident describes the Islamic stand towards life. One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, by the name of Anas, reported that some of the companions of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Prophet's wives about the acts that he, the Prophet, performed in private. Someone among them, meaning among the companions, said, I will not marry woman. Someone among them said, I will not eat meat. And someone among them said, I will not lie down in bed. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praised Allah and glorified Him and said, what has happened to these people that they say so and so whereas I observe prayer and sleep too, I observe fast and suspend observing them, I marry woman also. And he who turns from my sunnah, from my way, he has no relation with me. Islam does not condone the surrender to lust, as it is the case in this contemporary civilization, quote unquote. Islam recognizes the natural inclination of man towards the love of woman, children, gold, silver, possessions, etc. Such inclination is essential to drive man towards settlement and civilization. قال الله تعالى, Allah states about this in Hud chapter 11, 61. هو أنشأكم من الأرض واستعمركم فيها. It is he who had brought you forth from the earth and settled you therein. And clearly stated in 3:14 about these inclinations, زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. Beautiful for men, or beautified for men, is the love of things they covet: women, children, much of gold and silver, wealth, branded beautiful horses, cattle, and well-tilled land. This is the pleasure of the present world's life. This is the pleasure of the present world's life. But Allah has the excellent return, paradise, with flowing rivers, etc. These inclinations are not the objective. These inclinations are not the objective. They are to be taken in a balanced way. The way to deal with them is real. And Allah gives a detailed description of the balanced approach that gives man a perfectly balanced pleasure in this life. So the use of word, quote, restrictive, comes from those who think that they have, quote, free, end of quote, life. They accept many man-made restrictive rules that affect every aspect of our lives. Although these rules are not perfect because man is imperfect. Man accepts these rules thinking that they benefit him. This is the point. If the reward is high and the benefit is eternal, shouldn't man accept what is high and leave what is low? There is no sense in accepting what is lower. 2:61 in the Quran. أتستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير? Would you exchange that which is better for that which is lower? And in 4:94, تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا, تبتغون عرض الحياة الدنيا فعند الله مغانم كثيرة. Seeking the perishable goods of the worldly life, there are much more profits and booties with Allah. In another statement, 8:67, تريدون عرض الدنيا والله يريد الآخرة والله عزيز حكيم. You desire the good of this world, but Allah desires for you the hereafter, and Allah is Almighty, All Wise. This worldly life has good things in it, no doubt. They are, however, perishable. Allah, the All Wise, organized the way to achieve what is good without transgressing and or oppressing others. Capitalism allows ownership without limits. This produces political, social, and economical injustice, as it is evident in capitalist countries. On the other hand, the failed communism suppressed the inclination of man towards private ownership. Islam responds in a perfectly balanced way when it deals with the human soul. As stated in this verse, chapter 3, 14 earlier. It's normal for man to love money, beautified for men in the love of things they covet, women, children, much of gold and silver, etc. It is normal for man to love money, gold and silver, women. The challenge, however, is to take a medium and just course in dealing with this love. Islam prohibits usury, monopoly, compulsion, theft, robbery, hoarding gold and silver, luxurious spending, conceitedness, if wealthy. On the other hand, Allah ordained a fixed annual charity that limits inflation and provides a sharing process for the poor. Also, He decreed a medium course of spending. All of this represent control or regulatory mechanisms to prevent social, political, and economical injustice. Have we thought about the fact that usury, in the form of interest on loans, holds people as well as nations under the siege of the banks and multinational financial institutions? In the name of, quote, modern freedom, men and women are easily driven by their lusts to, quote, enjoy a sexual, quote, affair. Whereas Islam has been criticized for permitting polygamy. We find that in this free, quote, world, sexual affairs, mild for cheating, are being secretly practiced in motels, in hotels, on business trips, or in private apartments, such that when the woman gets pregnant, the man takes flight saying, bye-bye, honey. The consequences are devastating. The craze for lust is affecting the life of others. AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases are just some examples. Islam provides a legal and a moral binding process to protect women in marriage. It is not an affair. It is not an affair. It is a very real and medium course for those who are able to support more than one house, and for those who have strong sexual desires. It is very realistic. It is done in the open and very responsible. Man accepts the accountability principle laid down by his boss in a company. There are man-made restrictions on flights and on the use of many instruments. Man thinks they are there to protect him. In part, this may be true. But how about the guidelines that are set by Allah to save the whole living of man? Such guidelines come from the one who is perfect, not man who is imperfect. The, quote, freedom, end of quote, that leads a person to an eternal destruction in a confined place called hell is the most restriction. The freedom that leads a person to an eternal destruction in a confined place called hell is the utmost restriction. The true freedom of man is that which builds a civilization that has a divine value system and which man submits to his Creator alone. A civilization that reacts with the life of this world and links it to the day of return. On that day, everyone will be held accountable in front of the one who is all just, all wise, all merciful, severe in punishment, and oft forgiving, Allah. We read in the following statement in the Quran, 67:15, هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وَكُلُوا مِنْ رِزْقِهِ وَإِلَيْهِ النُّشُورِ. It is He who has made the earth subservient to you, meaning easy for you to walk, to live, and to do agriculture and everything. So walk in the paths thereof and eat of His provisions, and to Him will be the resurrection of the dead. In this verse in the Quran, in this statement, there is a reminder for man that while searching for the sustenance, for his sustenance, he must abide by what Allah has decreed. Consequently, there is accountability, either reward or punishment. This calls for responsibility and not, quote, restriction. The accountability principle is the driving force that promotes man towards adhering to do what is good and to abstain from doing what is bad. The life in the hereafter is the goal where man works his best in accordance with Allah's laws at the same time seeks the mercy and guidance from his Lord alone. That's why Allah states it clearly in the Noble Quran in 28:77, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَلَا تَبْغِ الْفَسَادَ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُفْسِدِينَ. But seek with that wealth which Allah has bestowed on you the home of the hereafter, and forget not your share, your portion of legal enjoyment in this world, and do good as Allah has been good to you, and seek not mischief in the land. Verily Allah likes not the mischief doers. Civilization is not only professional progress in materialistic forms. Although this is required, it has to comply with the moral system as prescribed by the Creator in order to have a meaningful outcome. Otherwise, this process will bring man's own destruction by promoting an attachment to desires as well as power struggle to control the world's resources. And this is explained in the following statement in the Quran in 49:13. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى وَجَعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلَ لِتَعَارَفُوا إِنَّ أَكْرَمَكُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَتْقَاكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. O mankind, we have created you from a single pair of male and female, and made you into nations and tribes, that you may know one another. Verily the most honorable of you in the sight of Allah is that believer who is best in religion and best in good deeds. And verily Allah is all-knowing, all-aware. And the believer cannot have except the best religion. As Allah stated, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Verily, the religion accepted to Allah is Islam. Those who live according to Allah's way will be best in His sight. They are truly successful ones who can build a true civilization. The following verse illustrates some beautiful aspects of this civilization. In chapter 24:27-31, nothing is left except Allah had regulated it for the best of man. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوتا غير بيوتكم حتى تستأنسوا وتسلموا على أهلها ذلكم خير لكم لعلكم تذكرون فإن لم تجدوا فيها أحدا فلا تدخلوها حتى يؤذن لكم وإن قيل لكم ارجعوا فارجعوا هو أزكى لكم والله بما تعملون عليم. ليس عليكم جناح أن تدخلوا بيوتا غير مسكونة فيها متاع لكم والله يعلم ما تبدون وما تكتمون قل للمؤمنين يغضوا من أبصارهم ويحفظوا فروجهم ذلك أزكى لهم إن الله خبير بما يصنعون وقل للمؤمنات يغضضن من أبصارهن ويحفظن فروجهن. Oh, who you believe, enter not houses other than your own until you have asked permission and greeted those in them that is better for you, in order that you may remember. And if you find no one therein, still enter not until permission has been given. And if you are asked to go back, go back, for it is purer for you, and Allah is knower of what you do. And there is no sin for you that you enter without taking permission houses uninhabited, meaning not possessed by anybody, when you have any interest in them. And Allah has knowledge of what you reveal and what you conceal. Tell the believing woman to lower their gaze and protect their private parts from sins. That is purer for them. Verily Allah is aware of what they do. And tell the believing woman to lower their gaze from looking at forbidden things and protect their private parts from illegal sexual acts. Organization at home, organization at large. The way out. The contemporary modern civilization has influenced many parts of the world. It attracted many people through its materialistic progress. And this civilization acts like dedication, honesty, honoring an appointment, representing the rights of others, are not purely done for the sake of Allah, but for the sake of interest. Such features are limited within the framework of social interactions. This mostly exists in the so-called, quote, pragmatic or free world civilization. When carefully examined, it is a narrow-minded, self-oriented, and eventually self-destructive approach. In this modern civilization, one hand is extended to shake with, while the other is ready to intervene in any way once they are conflicting interests. Because of the actual worship of self-interests, people of this, quote, civilization must deal, quote, nicely with each other, so as to minimize, quote, friction. There is a continuous, quote, lubrication of this system to keep it running with the latest possible, with the least possible friction. But when it comes to people who are not part of this free world, intervention rather than lubrication takes place under the banner of global interests, humanitarian aid, or world order. The recent position towards systematic killings of Muslims in many parts of the world is a vivid manifestation of this real nature of modern civilization. Compare the position towards Bosnia with the quick response and intervention for the sake of interest in other parts of the world. When it comes to politics, there is rarely any moral binding. Lying, cheating, dishonoring the rights of others are practiced in the name of national interests. On the economical front, usury, interest system, is an open rip-off that unlawfully uses people's money, making some rich and others poor. Every possible mean is used to advertise products regardless of their benefit. In fact, many products are harmful, addictive, and promote violence. On the issue of sex, there is a chaos never like it in history. The family structure is in disarray. Divorce rates are soaring. Teenagers are depressed. Many take antidepressant drugs on the job. The widespread psychology clinics on street corners, quote, of affluent suburbs is an evidence of complex social living. Suicide amongst the youth is alarming. Many people resort to take dogs or cats as honest friends. The market of drugs is depleting people's money and health. AIDS is a direct response to arrogance against the natural and morally abiding decrees regarding sexual needs as set by the Creator Allah. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, said, sins did not spread in any particular nation until they openly conducted, and as a result, plague and other illnesses that were not present among their predecessors became widespread amongst them. Cancer could have been a sufficient warning to reflect upon our estimate of Allah and His attributes. However, the arrogance and disregard of Allah produced a worship of lust and brought what is worse than cancer. Could people stop neglecting to think about the purpose of life before more evil appears, listen to what Allah states in 30:41. ظهر الفساد في البرد والبحر بما كسبت أيدي الناس ليذيقهم بعض الذي عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. Evil, sins and disobedience of Allah, etc., has appeared on land and sea because of what the hands of man have earned by oppression and evil deeds, that Allah may make them taste a part of that which they have done in order that they may return by repenting to Allah and begging His pardon. And when man forgets Allah and His reminders, and when man forgets Allah and His reminders, we can reflect upon what Allah then says. فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَتَّى إِذَا فَرِحُوا بِمَا أُوتُوا أَخَذْنَاهُمْ بَغْتَةً فَإِذَا هُمْ مُبْلِسُونَ. So when they forgot that the warning which they had been reminded, we opened to them the gates of every pleasant thing until in the midst of their enjoyment in that which they were given, on a sudden we took them to punishment, and lo, they were plunged into destruction with deep regrets and sorrows. For those who worship technology and who arrogantly think that they are building all powers of disposal over the earth, a reminder from Allah in 10:24, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون. Verily, the likeness of this worldly life is as the rain which we send down from the sky. So by it arises the intermingled produce of the earth, of men and cattle eat, until when the earth is clad with its adornments and is beautified, and now the point of evidence, and its people think they have all powers of disposal over it. Our command reached it by night or by day, and we make it like a clean mown harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain the signs, the proofs, the revelation, the laws in detail for people who reflect. People who reflect, they take their kids to school for a purpose. They use the means for purposes. But when it comes for the purpose behind our existence, we go for lowly desires and we forget about Allah, our Creator. Many civilizations vanished before and were destroyed when they stood against the way of Allah. We don't have a special relationship with Allah that may save us when we ignore Him and follow our desires. The only true way of salvation is to submit to Him and His way as revealed in the Quran and as explained by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace be upon him, in his way which is called the Sunnah. This is the true way of salvation. A final word to those who submitted to Allah in Islam. Many are coming to Islam. Islam is the perfect way of life. Muslims vary in terms of their adherence to the faith. There are those whose belief and practices adhere well to the way of Allah. Some commit sins but repent and regret. Others disobey and think they will be forgiven just because they are Muslims. Many resort in their worship to other than Allah. Yes, amongst Muslims, they call upon righteous men, dead or alive, present or absent, and love them like they love Allah. This is the only sin that Allah does not forgive. Any Muslim who sets up rivals with Allah exits the fold of Islam. What matters is the pure submission to Allah. This is known as Tawheed, singling Allah alone in worship. Muslims are called to liberate themselves from any worship to other than Allah. Following deviant sects that call for mystic ways known as Sufism or Shiaism, which gives divine attributes to men like Khomeini and to certain so-called Imams. Ismailism, another mystic sect like Shiaism, gives divinity to Ali bin Abi Talib, one of the great companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And all other ways that lead Muslims out of Islam must be avoided. Muslims on the state, the family and individual levels must apply the law of Allah in all of its aspects as detailed by Allah in the Quran and by the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the true way of justice on earth. The duty of the true Muslim is to call for correction of beliefs and practices that contradict the purpose of man's existence on earth. In the course of their duty, they can only depend upon Allah alone, seeking His guidance, help, and refuge in Him alone. Muslim, in order to be on this path, needs to acquire a beneficial knowledge. And the beneficial knowledge is centered upon three matters. Number one, the Quran. Secondly, the Sunnah, the authentic Sunnah, which means the sayings, actions, approvals, recommendations of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. All these textual proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah are to be understood in line of the way which the early Muslims, the companions of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and those who follow their path, this is the criteria for understanding Islam. Other than that, the person will be vulnerable to many mistakes and to many errors. This is laid down by the statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he set the criteria that will hold the Muslims on the true path. His criteria was my way and my companion's way, that which I am upon and my companions are upon. This is the true way to attain the correct understanding of Islam. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make of these discussions on who deserves to be worshipped alone a benefit for myself and for every one who listens to them. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.